But tonight, I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 16. I think you'll find this fascinating. We're going to be in Luke 16, and then we're going to jump over to Luke 17. I'm not going to be as in in-depth exposition, but I am going to draw out some points here in Luke 16 and Luke 17 for us to think about. My big question for you tonight is, are you living in God's kingdom? I want you to think about this. Are you living in His kingdom? So I think a lot of people are living in this old world, not looking and not living in the kingdom now. They're living in this old world, and they're always thinking about other things, okay? And I think it's great that we have things that are going on in our life. We have family. We have things that we're focused on. But that needs to be encompassed and including of God and Christ all the time, okay? Even with our family. We are to love Christ more than our family. That's what the Scriptures tell us to do. That's what Jesus taught us to do. And that priority is for the betterment of our family. There are other things that can distract us. Things we do in recreation, maybe the movies, the things that we do in our spare time. Are we so much focused on those things that we're not living in God's kingdom? I want to do a little test right now, and you can answer these questions as quickly as you think of them to yourself. A little test right now. Number one, what are you looking forward to this week? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Okay. Is God a part of that? Is that a part of His kingdom? Well, make sure it is. Now, you might be saying, well, there's nothing wrong with it. And I didn't think that I was thinking about like Wednesday night being in the church, but I have something else in my mind this week. Well, good. Make sure that God is a part of it and definitely the primary part of your life in that. But usually that might be telling. You know, if the top three things you're thinking and looking forward to this week and seem to be exclusive of God, that should be telling you something. All right, question number two, kind of a test. First thing that comes to your mind, what is the greatest nation? All right, I hope if you're living in the kingdom, that you're going to have a different answer to that. Let me ask it another way. Who is the greatest national leader? And what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Now, I'm going to encourage you. I know that oftentimes what I expect to hear and from fellow Americans is the United States is the greatest nation. And I hope that what we think is the Bible tells us, like 1 Peter chapter 2, we read that the church, God's people, is the greatest nation. And the greatest leader, greatest national leader, is Christ. Christ is leading us to the promised land. He is guiding His people to that and a part of that kingdom. So when I ask those questions, think about, am I living in the kingdom? Am I living my life where it's full of prayer? I'm looking forward to prayer. I'm looking forward to reading. I'm looking forward to Bible studies. And if you can't say that you're doing that, I think there's two things that need to be changed there. I would encourage our elders that we make sure that we are doing things here where people want to, that we're helping people to draw closer to God and they want to be a part of it. And secondly, not really secondly, but equal to that, we need to be looking at ourselves individually and say, do I want it? Am I desiring? Am I seeking first the kingdom of God? Is that what I want? Am I living in God's kingdom rather than in this old world? You know what Jesus would say. Well, let's look at some scriptures on that. All right, Luke chapter 16. I'm going to read two scriptures here, make a few observations. Very, very simple application here. But if you pay attention to this, it'll help you and change your way of thinking. Just kind of a comment while I'm thinking on this. I like to listen to podcasts, and one of the podcasts I listen to, these clean comedians will read a book together, and then they'll talk about the book, and I like to listen to them. Really very nice, friendly guys. They're both Mormon, though, so I'm just kind of putting that in perspective. But it's interesting to listen to them. But they will read these books, and they say the books that are the most important, and I've heard this from others, are the ones that change the way that you think. And so when I come to the Bible, I'm always looking and saying, well, how does this change my thinking? What effect is this? Because I know the Bible has an effect. Every passage, every scripture, every part of it should be changing my thinking. So let's go to Luke 16. Think about that. Luke 16, verse 16 and 17. This is what Jesus says as he's speaking, specifically before the Pharisees, as they've been deriding Him and they've taken offense at what He has said. Verse 16. Jesus says, the law and the prophets were until John. The law and the prophets, it all came down to this, to John. All right? What else did Jesus say? He says, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. From what time? From John 4. What has been the message? When Jesus sent out the 12, when he sent out the 70, they went out preaching and telling people the kingdom of God is near. And I wonder that if you were to say that today to somebody, what they would think. You know, the kingdom of God is near. Now, if they're mindful and they have some kind of thinking in regards to the Bible, they'll understand what you're saying. And in the context of Jesus talking to the Jews, they understood what he was saying. All right? And so since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. In other words, it doesn't matter, Jew, Gentile, whatever you are, if you're faithful and you're a believer, you're believing in God, you're coming to this point, and you're pressing into Christ's kingdom. There's no other way. If you're not coming into God's kingdom, you're going to be excluded. And so, whether Jew or Gentile, if they didn't receive Christ, to receive Jesus as the Christ, and believe that he is the Son of God, they weren't pressing into that. We keep reading here. Jesus says in verse 17, "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail," or one strike, or one strike of the pen there to fail. And what is Christ saying here? Okay, here's the law and the prophets. It's come to this point. It's come to the kingdom. It's come to the preaching of this message. All are pressing into it. And this is all in fulfillment to every degree and every detail of that law. Those things there are that stand out to me, that Jesus is constantly preaching the kingdom. But I want us to think about that, the kingdom of God. We see here that it's essential. We see how important it is. But what is the nature of the kingdom of Christ? You know, we hear this, the kingdom is near, but what does that mean? How does that affect me? How do I live in that kingdom? You know, other passages might come to mind. You might think about Colossians 1:13, or where it says we've been transferred into the kingdom. We're already a part of the kingdom. We read about this. It's inferred in the book of Acts that the kingdom had not yet established, but it was established in the church. And we read about Hebrews 12 and verse 28, again, that says that we have come to the kingdom that cannot be shaken and cannot be taken away. So think about the nature of the kingdom. And with that, I want to look at another passage from Luke 17. Two scriptures, Luke 17, 20 and 21. Luke 17, 20 and 21. And this is a passage I think very striking to me. Growing up, I was always taught the kingdom started when the church began, and that's all the kingdom is the church. And it's a little short-sighted there. It is, that is true. The church, God's people, is the kingdom. But I want you to listen to what Jesus says here in Luke 17, 20 to 21. This is one of those passages that challenged me and what I'd grown up believing or being heard taught to me. Verse 20 and 21. "Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there.'" Well, that makes sense. Why? Because this is a spiritual kingdom. This is not like a nation on earth with boundaries and everything, and Jesus is building up an army that you can observe him coming with his forces, and he's setting up the borders around Israel and expanding. His kingdom is different from that. And again, I want you to think about it a little bit further. Next part of verse 21, he says, "For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Or I think the better translation there, looking at the Greek, is "in your midst." So the kingdom of God is within you, is within your midst. And when we think about that, what is he saying? What is Jesus saying when because he's standing here before the Pharisees, right? Is he saying that to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is in you? I think in them at that point, it wasn't, because they were in rebellion against Christ. Now, could it be that they come into the kingdom? Yes. Someone might make that application there. But what I see here is when he says the kingdom is in the midst of you, how is the kingdom already in the midst of not just the Pharisees, but all those who are listening and Jesus' disciples? It was in their midst because the king was in their midst. So when you think about the kingdom of God, this is how I think about it, and I've explained before. We have Christ coming. The king has come. We see him entering into Jerusalem on the donkey. You see these things that he does as a king. And in that sense, the kingdom has come because the king has come. But God's people are those that follow him and those who follow Christ and follow his king. And that is the church. That is God's people. So, but when you think of a kingdom, you got the king and you got the people. But where's the land? There's got to be a country. And the Bible tells us, and the scriptures tell us repeatedly, it's the heavenly country, the heavenly homeland, the city of which we look forward to, that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 10 and 16. Other passages may come to mind on this eternal kingdom that is coming. I know Paul makes reference to it, and Peter as well, calling it the eternal kingdom and the heavenly kingdom, and they speak of it coming in the future. Well, how can the kingdom be coming in the future when the king has already come and the kingdom is already here, the people? It's because of that promise. Jesus says, I go away to prepare a place for you. And so we have this picture here of our king has come and he's leading his people to the promised land. Does that sound familiar? It should. I mean, we have that picture in Moses, right? Leading the Israelites to the promised land. And here we have it demonstrated in Christ. These are two passages that stood out to me when looking at Luke 16 and Luke 17 there that I've mentioned and given to you tonight that changed a lot of the way that I looked at God's kingdom. And it also brought me to the point of thinking, as far as application is, I want to look and know right now that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus told us to do. Seek first the kingdom of God. Am I seeking it first? Am I living in it? Am I a part of it? Is Jesus my king? Am I his people? And am I living in the hope of eternal life to come? Now, those are clear indications that I am living in the kingdom now, and I know who is my king and my leader. I want you to listen to this passage here in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Revelation 5 through 1, you can see who's writing this. Christ speaking through the Apostle John, because you're going to get a from, and then you're going to get a to. All right, I'm going to go back to Luke 17, so if you might want to mark that or put your finger there, but I'm going to read this to you. Revelation 1, 5 through 6, two verses again. From Jesus Christ, so it's like an epistle, the faithful witness, that's a description of him, he's faithful, trustworthy, the firstborn from the dead, he is the first to rise from the dead, immortal, the ruler over the kings of the earth, he is the ruler, he is the greatest leader, national leader, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth, and that's present. It was present now, when John is writing this and recording it, and it's present and true today. All right, and then it says to who? It says to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us. Now, if you have King James right here, it says he made us kings. The Greek literally means this, and some of the translations, most of them will present this correctly. He has made us a kingdom, is what it says. He's made us a kingdom and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, he has glory, he has dominion. Again, he is king forever and ever. Amen. You see that? This is a part of our thinking and our reality and the way that we are to live. And when we ask ourselves and look at our lives, it should be it's a great way to examine and say, am I living this way? Am I living in prayer? Am I living in devotion? Am I seeking out worship? Am I seeking out to spread the kingdom by sharing the good news? Am I loving my neighbor? Am I loving my enemy? These things that are manifest in the teachings of Christ, the things that Christ teaches, we can know that he is truly our king because we seek them out. We want to know them. We're constantly studying them, and we want to obey them. So how did Jesus awaken these people he was talking to the kingdom? If you go back to Luke 17, where Jesus says the kingdom is now in your midst, you're not going to observe the kingdom coming, but the kingdom is now in your midst, and you look at verses 22 to 25. I'm not going to read the whole section here. I kind of want to, but I'm going to leave that to you. If you can read down to verse 36. But the way that he gets them to wake up and to think about this is he says, you need to be in the kingdom. The kingdom is in the midst of you. And then he starts describing the Son of Man and the day of judgment. So look at verse 22. He said to his disciples, the day will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and you will not see it. Christ is not always going to be around and in your presence, but he's still king. And this is why. Verse 23. And they will say to you, look here, look there. Do not go after them or follow them. There's going to be people coming along. I saw someone on the news the other day who, I think he was in Australia, and he tried to make himself look like Jesus, and he was telling people that's who he was. And what the Bible warns us, Christ warns us, don't go after that. He says, this is how you're going to see the Son of Man. Look at verse 24. He said, for as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. So even in Christ's life, it was very quick, but in the day in which he comes back in judgment is going to be very quick. Verse 25, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So before that day he comes, he's going to suffer. He's going to endure these things. And Christ goes on to explain this, and he says it's going to be like the days of Noah. It's going to be like the days of Lot. It's going to be that the Son of Man is going to come as a thief, and it's going to be all of a sudden that certain people are going to be taken, and some are going to be left behind. And so he gives this warning, this appeal to them. You want to be a part of the kingdom because the Son of Man is coming in judgment. So I encourage you tonight, are you ready? Are you ready for that day when Christ comes back? I am. I look forward to that because I, with all my being and life and breath, Christ is my King. And the church is his people, his kingdom. And I look forward to that eternal kingdom. I look forward to the day of resurrection. I look forward to the day in which the Son of Man comes. So are you living in God's kingdom? Or are you living in this old world? Are you living in God's kingdom, or are you just living in this world, not thinking about what you're doing here, what your meaning and purpose is? And if you're living in the kingdom now, what should be your focus in this life? What should you be doing? And I encourage you, don't let the things in your work, the things in the news, the things in your family distract you from Christ. It's better for everybody around you, for your neighbor, for your family, for your coworkers, that your focus is on God and on Christ. Tonight, I urge you, seek first the kingdom of God. Live in that kingdom. Anybody tonight needs to put on Christ in baptism and be a part of his kingdom, you can do that. Confessing your faith, repenting of your sins, you can do that. If you need prayers, you need encouragement, you can come now. Let's sing together. Let's stand.